妈妈。I was sitting there thinking and wishing that I could have a copy. A CD of every song them ladies have sung this week. And they ought to name it after that last song. I'm telling you, I'm serious, ladies. If you ever have a chance to put that on a CD, your songs you sang this week, I wish y'all would just find a way to do that and send me one, and I'd be glad to pay for it. Because I know a lot of gospel singers, but I don't know a lot of them that's real. And I ain't heard nothing this week that wasn't real. And my soul has been fed by the music. Thank you. And I'm not being cute. If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Playing around about it. Now, I don't know who that young lady is here tonight. She's somebody's daughter, evidently. But I'm glad you're here, young lady. I don't know who you are, but I'm glad to see you. Well, oh, you want your Bible? Is it a King James? Because I'm going to be preaching out of King James tonight. I want to make sure you had the right one. Let's get our Bibles out. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter number 10. My wife woke up one morning and she said, I've been reading my Bible, and my Bible told me that you're supposed to be getting up every morning and making coffee. I said, really? I said, and where'd you get that out of the Bible? She said, right there, the Bible says Hebrews. Yes. Yeah. Hebrews chapter number 10. I want to start reading tonight. Years ago, I'm just going to tell you a preface. I'm going to preface the mess by telling you that in 1999, you know how long ago that's been? It's been 19 years ago. The Lord showed me something in this passage. And every time I've read this passage, it has just gripped my heart. And I've read it 19 times since then. At least 19 times. And just out of the blue, the Lord told me, I'm supposed to preach it tonight. And it's probably the message that I would least want to preach. And it's an illustrated message. I'm going to illustrate tonight. Be four nights in a row. I told you last night, I've never preached more than two illustrated messages in a week in my life. But there's some reason why every night this week the Lord said, you need to go here, you need to go. And already, He's already told me what I'm preaching on tomorrow night. That's why my table and chairs are back in there at the back. But I want to preach this message tonight because I believe it's what God wants. So I want you to find your place in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse 19. I'm going to read down to verse 31. I'm going to try to preach 35 minutes. I don't want to preach no longer than that because the preacher Paul's here. And I don't want to feel for one second I cut in any of his time. But I have so much detail tonight to give you that it's going to take the grace of God for me to get it done. So you're going to have to listen fast. Okay? Chapter number 10, verse number 19. We're going to read 19 down to verse 31, okay? Now, I want you to think about this now. He's writing to Hebrew believers. You got that? Saved people. Before we even read this, don't you understand? He's writing to saved people. Now let's all stand tonight for just a minute. Let's read just these verses, okay? Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, writing to the brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Ain't that how we all got in?
That's right. Amen.
By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You may be seated. Let's ask God to help us. Father, Lord, if I ever needed you, Lord, I need you now. I need you, Lord, to illuminate my mind and quicken my thoughts, Lord. Father, I don't want to weary the people tonight because Brother Paul's coming to preach, Lord, and I know you've given him something from heaven tonight that's going to help our souls. So, Lord, would you help me, God, to preach what you put upon my heart to preach? Help me, Lord, to be thorough, Lord, but help me not to be long, God. Help me to say what needs to be said and get out of the way and help somebody's life that's in this building right now to change tonight forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to look back to verse number 28 and 29 for just a moment. And then I want to introduce somebody to you tonight that's here with us this evening that you didn't know. The Bible says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Let me introduce you to somebody tonight. Y'all didn't know he was here because he was kind of hid from you. It's a very special friend to me. He was introduced to me by a missionary's wife. I'm sure Preacher Paul, maybe Brother Don, and Brother Jim knows Brother Russell Bell. Does that name ring a bell to y'all? Brother Russell Bell. His wife's name is Mamie. And one day I was preaching revival at Calvary Baptist Church in Henderson, North Carolina, and they had invited me over to have dinner with them, and I was having dinner in their home, and she introduced me to this fella right here. And ever since she introduced me to him, well, he's been my friend. Ever since the first day I met him, he became my friend. And you know what happened? I took him home with me that day. And since I brought him home with me, he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never lied to me. Not one time has he ever let me down. I have always been able to depend on him. Sometimes when I wake up during the night, I look over in the corner where he's at. And you know what? He's praying for me. I mean, I went to bed and he was praying for me. I wake up during the middle of the night and he's been over there in the corner praying. See, this is not a pouting doll. He was praying for me. He prayed for me. He prays for me morning, noon, and night, in fact. He's praying for this service. When I'm out the pulpit to preach, he's always praying for me. He's had his head bowed all week praying for this meeting. Yes. He's my friend. I want you to understand something about him. Because he's always praying for me, nobody's ever seen his face. I've never even seen. He always keeps it buried in his hands while he's praying. For many years, he's been my traveling companion. Everywhere I go, he goes right along with me. I've been through some dark places and he was there. I've been on some mountaintops and he was there. I've been in the valleys and he was there. I mean, he's never left me. Now, when I first met him, his name was unknown to me. So I asked him what his name was. But he didn't tell me. He asked me a question. He said, "Who do I remind you of?" And I said, "Well, you remind me of Jesus. Because you're always walking with me, talking with me. You're always praying for me. You never leave me nor forsake me. And I mean, you remind me of Jesus." And he said, "Well, that'll work. If you want to call me that, that'll work." So I named him after my hero, my Savior, my Redeemer. But out of respect for the Lord Jesus, I decided that I'd spell his name just a little bit different. His name is Jesus. This is my Jesus. I've told you how important he is to me, right? I'm fixing to preach. You understand the importance that he is in my life. But we had to talk about this before church. And he's willing to sacrifice his life tonight for this meeting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put him right here on the altar because he's real familiar with the altar. Hey? Can everybody see if I put him right here? Or should I put him right here? I'll put him right here where the preacher's at. I'm going to move this. Right here. Now, if I could get one of you, and I'm asking for volunteers, maybe Brother Joe back there, maybe Brother Bill, maybe Brother Jim, if I could get one of you to come up here right now, I'd like for you to take your foot and stomp my Jesus in the ground. Can I get any volunteers? Preacher Paul? Brother Joe, you want to stomp my Jesus in the ground? Brother Bill, you want to stomp my Jesus in the ground for me? How about the preacher's wife? Do you realize that my Bible says this? Now you know and I know that what that thing's made out of, right? But my Bible tells me right here in Hebrews chapter 10 that there are some people who are believers. Some people that have been saved that do despite to the Spirit of grace. And the Bible says that they trample under their feet the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. Did you see that in your Bible when I read it? I'm going to read it one more time. The Bible says that there are some people, children of God, if you please, believers, the Bible says, it says, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, is that not Jesus? And have counted the blood of the covenant, the blood that washed away their sins, wherewith they were sanctified, as an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I want to preach tonight for the next 20 minutes by the grace of God on guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. Who are these people? Now listen, I'm not going to stray from this passage. I may give you another verse or two here and yonder, but we're going to go right back to where we started in verse number 19, and we're going to look at this crowd that the Lord said was guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. And I want us to analyze our life and see if somehow or another, without even realizing it, we have been guilty of stomping our Jesus in the ground.
Good.
Let's start with the first part. Verse number 19, let's start reading. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now all that is things that God did for us. When he saved us, he gave us all those things. He gave us the boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. And he consecrated for us through his flesh. And he gave us a high priest over the house of God. All those things came with salvation. And so the Lord says in verse 22, Preacher Paul, he says, let us, because God did all these things for us, now let us draw near with a true heart.
Amen.
Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled and even conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 73:28, it is good to draw near to God. In James 4:8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Hebrews 6:1 says, let us go on unto perfection. Romans 12:1 says, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice, and don't be conformed to this world. He told us in Ephesians chapter number 4 that he gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. But he says in verse 13, till we all come. In other words, he said in 2 Peter, I believe it is, in verse 3, at chapter 3 and verse 18, let us grow in grace.
You're right.
He tells us in our text to draw near with a true heart. We are guilty We are guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stay where we are in our relationship with Him. If we don't take any steps toward Him, if we don't draw any closer to Him after He saved us from a never-ending hell and gave us everlasting life, if we just stay right where I'm saved and that's enough, I don't care about getting any closer to God, I don't care about drawing nigh to God, I'm happy right where I'm at. God says when we refuse to draw near to God and when we stay where we are in our relationship with Him, God says we're guilty. We're guilty of stomping our Jesus in the ground. I wonder, have you drawn near to Him since you've been saved? Are you closer? Hey, I'm not going to go back a long ways. Are you closer to Him than you were 6 months ago? Is your relationship with Him tighter now than it was a year ago? Are you closer to Him now than you've ever been? The Bible says we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stay where we are in our relationship with Him. Verse number 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's not talking about holding on to our salvation. That's talking about holding fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. It's talking about not wavering. Talking about not wavering. That word wavering gives a connotation that somebody swerves off the path that they were on. That somebody runs off. That happened coming up here tonight. Somebody ran off the road in front of us, and for about the length of a football field, they couldn't get back on the road, and dust was flying everywhere because they swerved off the path that they were on. And so the Lord says to us that we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stay where we are in our relationship with Him, and we're also guilty of stomping our Jesus in the ground when we stray away from the right way. In Jeremiah 6:16, the prophet Jeremiah said, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the oil pass, where's the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But you know what they said? We will not walk therein. They said, no, sir, I'm going my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Galatians 5:1, the Apostle Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God wants us to stay on the right path. God wants us to live the way He has said in this book for us to live. The Bible tells us, He says in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The preacher gets up and preaches, and he preaches on standards, and he preaches on living for God, and he preaches on coming out from the world and being separate, and he preaches on how you ought to dress, and how you ought to talk, and how you ought to walk, and how you ought to live. But it falls on deaf ears, and we say, I'm just going to do my own thing and go my own way. That preacher's just too old-fashioned. Well, you know what God says? God says you're guilty of stomping me in the ground because you're straying from the right way. There's things that God's told us that we ought to do. I mean, what is it? He said, if a man have long hair, it's a shame for him. So God says a man ought not have long hair, right? Well, I'll have my hair any way I want to. God ain't going to tell me how to cut my hair. No, you're straying from the right way. God tells us so many things. He talks about making cuttings in the flesh. But people are doing it day and night, ain't they?
Right.
He talks about women adorning themselves in modest apparel. But boy, you go to church now and you can see things you used to couldn't see on a streetwalker street.
Right.
I knew it'd get quiet. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22:5 that a woman's not to wear what pertains to it, which pertaineth to a man, and neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. But I sure see a lot of men with earrings and necklaces around their neck, don't you?
That's right.
I said this before and I say it again tonight. I said if a man will wear lace around his neck, he's liable to wear it on his underwear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. I still believe that. I believe that touching is reserved for the married. God said, therefore, neither nevertheless nor bar fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. But it seems like every man wants everybody else's wife, and every woman wants everybody else's husband, but they don't want their own. Right? I told you this is that message I don't like to preach. But the Lord teaches us in His Word. And when we stray away from the standards set forth in His book, when we stray away from these standards, we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. So I'm not going to stomp Jesus in the ground. I mean, you can help yourself at doing it, but I'm going to wear what pertains to a man and let my wife wear what pertains to a woman. My wife's going to wear modest apparel, and I'm going to wear modest apparel, and I'm going to go. I went and got a haircut on Thursday because I didn't want anybody to think I had compromised on what I believe before I got up here. We choose not to live by His standards. We are guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. It says in verse 28, he that despised Moses' law. You know what Moses' law is? That is the standards of God. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Do you realize that there's a fellow in the Bible, God had told him, he said, I don't want you to do any work on Sunday. And there's a fellow, I preached on this other week, the man who died for gathering sticks. There's a fellow that went out and gathered sticks on Sunday. And they came in and said, God, what are we going to do? He was out gathering sticks on Sunday, and that don't seem like such a bad thing to be picking up sticks on Sunday. And the Lord said, take him out and stone him. God takes His standard serious. It wasn't about the picking up the sticks. It was about disobeying God. So we see here, he despised Moses' law in verse 28, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. God says that when we stray away from His standards, we are guilty of counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. We've done despite to the Spirit of grace, and we've trodden under our foot the Son of God.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I tell you, I'm sick and tired of this mamby-pamby Christianity that we got today.
Amen.
I mean, people think they can just do any way they want to. And if they say a prayer before they go to bed at night, everything's going to be all right. But God said here in this passage that they got to a place where God just had to judge them. Didn't matter how many times they said, Lord, I'm sorry. They faced the judgment of God because they were trampling under their feet the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. I hope you're still with me. So we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stray away from the right way. When we stay where we are in our relationship with Him. There's a third thing, and I'm hurrying. Look at verse 24. Real simple. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In Romans 12:10 it said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brother love and honor, preferring one another. In 1 Corinthians 10, it said, give none offense. In verse 32, neither the Jew nor the Gentile, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And the Bible goes on to tell us, now God has set members in every one of them in the body as it had pleased him. And I'm not going to read any more of that, but God says that when we put self before others, when we are negative or discouraging to other believers, when we put ourself above others, we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. This is a serious thing to me. It's a very serious thing to me. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I had a young couple come back to our church about 2 weeks ago. I say come back because they've been gone about 2 years. They came back to our church about 3 weeks ago maybe. And they've been coming regular. But you see, that before they left the first time, they had done some things through strife and forget vainglory. They had done some things to cause trouble. Now they came to me when they came back, and both of them individually now came to me, and the man said, I'm sorry. I was wrong for what I did. The lady came to me and she said, I'd like for you to forgive me. And they both said we should have never left the church. We were out of God's will. I called the preacher yesterday of the church they had been going to, and I said, some of your folk have been coming to my church. He said, well, weren't they there before they came to my church? I said, yeah, they were there before they were here before they came to your church. But out of respect for you, I want you to know that they've been visiting, and I know they're members of your church. I said, when they told me where they went to church at, I told the husband, I said, you need to go talk to that pastor. He said he already has. He says he came to me the other day. He came to me a couple of weeks ago or a week ago or so. And he said he sat down with me and he told me that he left Highland Baptist Church out of God's will. And he would never be in God's will until he went back and made things right. And the preacher said, I told him the exact same thing. I said, you need to go back to the church and make things right with the pastor and make things right with the church, because you should have never left there to start with. And besides that, he said, you've never been faithful since you've been here. They've been to our church more in the last 3 weeks than they went to his church in 2 months probably, because they was out of God's will. But I'm saying to you, the problem was that they put their self before others. And they said negative and discouraging things to others. And as a result, when I confronted them with that issue, and I had to confront them with that issue, and I told him plainly, as the head of the home, that if you don't deal with this at your home and get your wife on the right path, brother, you're going to have to find somewhere else to go to church. Because God says you're guilty of stomping him in the ground when you put yourself above others. Well, when they came back in the door, I was thinking, Lord, do we want them back? That's the first thing popped in my mind. The second thing popped in my mind was, boy, we've been hurting so bad financially. And I know he's a good tither. It would be good to have his tithe. And I said, it seemed like the devil jumped up on my shoulder, Preacher Paul, and said, you don't need to call that pastor and tell him about it. But the Holy Ghost said, no, you got to call him.
You're right.
You've got to put Him above yourself. It's not about you. And it's not about your church's income. And it's not about your finances. It's about what God wants you to do. In regard to others. And I said, preacher, I want you to know I've got great respect for you. And I don't want anybody to hurt you. And I want you to know that we'll do whatever you say do.
When we put ourselves before others, we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23, I hate to give you verses because we got the Bible quoter up. I'm going to preach in a few minutes. But in 1 Corinthians 9, 22, the Bible says, to the weak became I weak. Why did he do that? Because he was putting others before himself. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake that I might be partaker thereof with you. He said, I put them before myself so that I could reach them for Jesus. We're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stay where we are in our relationship with Him. We're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stray away from the path that we know is the right way. There's a lot of preachers doing that today. They're straying from that King James Bible. They're straying from the standards of God's Word. And they've strayed away from holding forth the Word of life. They're straying away and they're guilty all across this country. There are preachers Sunday morning and Sunday night and church members Sunday morning and Sunday night stomping Jesus in the ground. Because they stay where they are in their relationship with Him. They stray away from the right way and they put self before others. Something else I want you to see. I'm not going anywhere. Verse 25. We're right here. We done gone. Verse 22, verse 23, verse 24, verse 25. What's verse 25 say? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of them is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I honestly believe without a shadow of a doubt there's not anybody in the room that could argue with me on this. That's talking about the assembly of the church.
That's right.
God said don't forsake assembling yourself with the church. Don't forsake it. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, we are guilty. We are guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stay away from God's house. When we can go. When we're able to go to the house of God and we stay away from the house of God. Huh? We stay away from the house of God. The doors are open. I'm physically able to go to church. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go to church. But when I stay away from the house of God and the doors are open, then I'm guilty. Jesus in the ground. How many people do you and I know tonight that are not like David? They are not glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They're not like David when he said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We wonder why people aren't growing in God. We wonder why people aren't flourishing in the courts of God. I tell you, they're not planted. We got a lot of people that are just. You ever seen them things in an aquarium, them plants in an aquarium that just float on the top? That's the way a lot of Christians are today. They'll float over here for a while and then float over there for a while and then they'll settle in the middle for a while and they'll get over there next to the fielder and they'll suck up some of that fresh oxygen and then they'll move over there in the stale corner and get around that algae and get it all over them. I'm saying that's what some folk are doing as far as they're spiritually speaking. And God says we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground when we stay away from God's house. When the doors are open. The other week, my wife, She couldn't walk across the churchyard. We live in the churchyard to come to church. I'm sitting at my desk. My phone rings and she says, I can't walk across the yard to come to church by myself. Can you come get me? And when I was talking to her, there was a lady had picked up the other phone and she said, I'll be right there, Sister Vaughn. And she went over there and got my wife, brought her to the house of God. Last Sunday morning, my wife's mother had had a heart attack. And you know what most folk would do when they live 680 miles away? Most folk would be sitting at home by the telephone waiting on somebody to call and tell them, give them a report. Mama, Sister Vaughn, I call her Wifey. Wifey came to church, sat on her pew, and said, preach, preacher, preach. She called me, I called her today, and we was talking on the phone, and she said, you got anybody going with you tonight? I said, no, I don't think so. And we talked for a little while. I said, nobody said they're coming and go with me. And we talked for a little while and we got ready to hang up. And I told her I loved her and she told me she loved me. And the last words out of her mouth, Preacher Paul, when she hung up that phone, was preach, preacher, preach. When we stay away from God's house, we're guilty of stomping Jesus. The ground. When we stay where we are in our relationship with Him, we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. When we stray from the right way, we're guilty of stomping Jesus in the ground. When we put sap before others, we're guilty of stomping our Jesus in the ground. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. When we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, we're guilty of stomping our Jesus in the ground. But I want you to look at the context. I said I'd be done. I'm fixing to be done. I got a minute and a half. In the context of this passage, why would he say in verse 26, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth? Why would he say that? Is he not referring to verse 23 where he said, hold fast the profession of your faith? Is he not referring to let us consider one another? Is he not referring to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? Is he not referring to let us draw near with a true heart? Is he not making reference to these things, that these are actually willful sin that the child of God commits? You need not tell me that you can't draw near to God, because God said do it. And God don't tell you to do nothing you can't do. And you need not tell me that you can't hold fast your profession, because God said you can. And you need not tell me that God said it was okay for you to put yourself ahead of everybody else, because God said for you to put others first. And God said, don't stray away from my house. When you do, that's willful sin. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But, there's a but. A certain fearful looking for of judgment. God is going to pronounce judgment, or he's actually pronouncing judgment in this passage on those who are guilty of stomping Jesus. I know a lot of senior saints that are stomping Jesus in the ground. I know a lot of young Christians that are stomping Jesus in the ground. But because I know you're here tonight and you sincerely want to do what's right in the eyes of God, or you wouldn't be here on a Thursday night, I believe there's some people here in this building right now. I didn't preach this by accident, you understand? I believe there's some people in this building that truly love the God of heaven, that without even realizing what they were doing, you have been guilty of stomping your Jesus in the ground. You got two choices. You can fall into the hands of the living God. You can see His vengeance. You can rest on His judgment and say, I'll just take my chances. Or you can do what 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Before I got a hold of this scripture, after I got a hold of this scripture, in 1999, I realized that there were times in my life that I had been guilty of stomping my Jesus in the ground. And I went to Him and I said, Lord, I didn't realize it. But I'm here tonight, Lord, to confess that I'm guilty. And You said if I would confess my sin, that You would be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And man, since that day to this day, every once in a while I just peel back Hebrews chapter 10 and I read it again so I can stay on the right track. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and our sister's coming to the piano. Please come to the piano, sis, if you would. We're not going to take long, but I believe that when God puts His finger on something in our heart and our life, and we realize that we've been doing something, we've been guilty of something that God is going to judge us for, and we don't need to wait about taking care of it. We just need to go say, Lord, or without even realizing it. Without even realizing it, Lord, I have been guilty of stomping my Jesus in the ground. Forgive me, Lord. Why don't You come? Father, I've tried to obey You. I really have, Lord. And I ask You now, God, I pray. I didn't take any of Preacher Paul's time. I really pray, Lord, I pray, God, that if there's somebody here that You've dealt with tonight, Lord, that they would get on to the altar and take care of this matter now so they can sit back and while Preacher Paul's preaching, just soak it all in tonight to the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Let's all stand at our feet. You can stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed while the sister's playing. The altar's open if you want to come. I understand if you don't. Very seldom do I get folk on the altar when I preach along this line. But I sure wouldn't want to be guilty, would you? I wouldn't want something to be rushing through my mind right now that said, guilty, guilty, guilty. No, I wouldn't want to be guilty of stomping my Jesus in the ground. Not for one minute would I want to be guilty of stomping my Jesus in the ground. Folk are coming. Why don't you come too? God spoke to your heart. You sat there and you swallowed real hard. You tried to clear your throat because God was dealing with you. He was speaking to you. And you was trying to shrug it off. Why don't you come on? You know, there's somebody in this building that knows that they're not where they ought to be with God. You know it. And there's others whose hearts are tender that have already come to the altar because God's keeping the door open for you. Why don't you come? Come on right now. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you need somebody to help you, a preacher will help you. Whatever you need, we're here for you. But you need to come on. You need to come on right now. Come on. Folks are still praying. The Lord's kept it up a little longer for you.
Spoke to your heart, don't wait any longer, please. Because you may not ever have another opportunity. Because after the invitation is closed, this one, another invitation might not open to you again. Because he says in his word that the Spirit of God does not always strive for man. Take a chance, because it's your life. This is your life that you're taking a chance with. If it means for me to resign from this church and go somewhere else, for you to come forward and get saved, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that. Because see, I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. I got more over there now than I have over here. And I would love to see you go. Not because I'm asking, and not because I'm speaking to you tonight. I love you tonight. Each and every one of you. And I thank God for that message.
Amen.
It touched my heart. Have you stumped?